Those men will drop her, and then she'll become even more depressed because no one wants her. I feel a suicide attempt coming on, and it won't be Mom's. The phone beeped and Jillian sat up straighter as a wave of excitement swept through her. Hang on, I'm getting another call. It had to be Marcus, and she could hardly wait to hear his voice. Could hardly wait to tell him off, the pig. Amid Brittany's protests, Jillian clicked over. What? This had better be an apology. Has Mom called you yet? Her brother Brent, Brittany's twin, asked. And why would I apologize to you? I haven't done a damn thing wrong. She sighed with disappointment. No, Mom hasn't called me. And don't worry about the apology. I'm on the other line with Britt, who's telling me all about the situation. Mom never calls you with her problems, he grumbled. It's not fair. I think she likes you best. She just wants someone to think of her as normal, and the someone she picked is me. Remember what the therapist said? Wants someone to think of her as normal, he mocked. I just wish her revelations and breakdowns happened during the day. Again, remember what the therapist said. She's alone at night with nothing to distract her. Jillian paused. Maybe we should buy her a dog. She's allergic, dummy. So, have you talked to Georgia lately? Jillian fell back onto the softness of her mattress. God save her from her family. She's dating someone else. You know that, so stop stalking me about her. You should have asked her out when we were teenagers. How serious is she about the boyfriend? I asked her to a movie earlier today, but she said she had plans with him. What kind of plans? She's practically engaged, so leave her alone. Now goodbye, Brent, she said, and clicked over. To bed, Brittany was saying over loud giggles. I'm serious, girls. This is your last warning. Stephen, the girls won't go to bed. The giggling stopped and murmuring took its place. Then Stephen's deep voice drifted over the line.
All right, my little fruit pies. Let's give your mommy some privacy.
Static. Kissing noises.
Love you, bunny bear.
Love you too, sugar butt, Brittany said.
Jillian gagged. Thankfully, her other line beeped again, saving her from having to hear the rest. She clicked over. What now, Brent? Silence. Brent, please, no heavy breathing or I'll have to hurt you.
Jillian?
Everything inside of Jillian froze. Hatred filled her, as did longing and need, and all the tears she hadn't shed over him these many years. I told you not to call here, Dad.
Brent told me you were up. I just wanted...
Hand shaking, she clicked over.
Cutest man I've ever seen, Brittany was cooing.
And you're...
Stephen began.
I'm here,
Jillian said hastily. She forced her dad's phone call from her mind, just like she always did. He would not affect her in any way. Brent called me, she said. Mom called him, too.
Why does she always call us in the middle of the night?
Instead of giving her the same answer she'd given Brent, Jillian said, Here's a better question. Why do you always call me in the middle of the night after she's called you?
Well, duh. If I have to suffer, so do you. So what are we going to do about Mom?
Let's buy her a cat.
She's allergic, silly.
Sighing, Jillian gazed through the slit between the beige curtains draping the bedroom's only window and out at the moonlit night, soaking in the gently swaying trees. Don't worry, I'll think of something. Brent and Brittany got to hear about the problems and Jillian got to fix them. At least it would take her mind off Marcus, she hoped. Back at his apartment, Marcus sat in his recliner, staring at his magnificent poker table. The felt was the color of money, and the base was intricately carved, high-glossed maple. It was his altar, his place of worship. He glanced over at his weights and the boxes scattered across the living room floor, each one filled with his stuff, clothing, dishes, and basically everything he needed to survive. He hadn't unpacked yet, though he'd had several weeks. He didn't think he would for several more. He'd been too busy trying to buy Cam, and now he was too busy trying to make it a success, not to mention too busy annoying Jillian. He should call her again. He frowned. No, he shouldn't. He'd acted unprofessional all night, which was very unlike him, and it was time to put a stop to it. He blamed Jillian. He needed to stay away from her. Far, far away. That woman irritated and excited him on levels he'd never experienced before. Every time he was near her, or heard her voice, or thought about her, he became primed. He needed her gone, out of the company. But she'd made him laugh. She'd gotten the better of him. He wanted her to get the better of him again. Shit. Frustrated, he tangled a hand through his hair. Yes, he needed her gone, but if she went to another agency, he wouldn't be able to control her assignments. Annoying as she was, the woman needed a protector. One day she was going to piss off some poor sap, and the poor sap was going to snap, hurting her. At least Marcus could keep an eye on her if she worked for him. When Darren had grabbed Jillian's arm in order to keep her in place, Marcus had nearly broken the man's nose. Of course, that wouldn't have been painful enough, so he then would have ripped off the man's arms and legs and beaten him over the head with them. But Jillian had shoved mace in the guy's face before Marcus could make a move, and all had ended well. But what if it hadn't? Jillian could have been hurt, beaten. That was enough to make him sick to his stomach. Women were cheaters by nature, but they didn't deserve physical pain. He'd never worried about female bait before, but he was worried now. Jillian was such a delicate little thing. Okay, she was average height and probably packed a punch like a linebacker. She was self-reliant, tough, and fearless. Still, men were stronger. The fact that Jillian and the other female bait usually went on assignments alone, placing themselves in the line of fire without any true means of escape, froze his blood, and he vowed, then and there, to make sure it never happened again. Of all of them, Jillian would need the most protection. He didn't need a reason for that assessment. He just wanted it to be true. She had an appeal that drew all kinds of immoral attention. Just sitting at the bar, he'd watched man after horny man scope her out and contemplate making a play for her. She'd looked aloof, untouchable, yet still utterly willing to try any sexual act suggested. The more depraved, the better. He himself had wanted to do wicked things to her. Wild things. Illegal in 32 states things. He blamed her let-me-suck-you mouth. And if he, an upstanding citizen, when he wanted to be, had yearned to do such wicked things to her, what had the other men wanted? Nothing good, that was for sure. Yep, he was going to be her new partner, whether she liked it or not, whether he liked it or not. So much for staying far, far away from her. He picked up the phone and dialed his best friend's number. It rang and rang and rang until, "This better be good," Jake said in a scratchy sleep rumble. Marcus didn't bother identifying himself. "Can you and the others come to the new office tomorrow? I need you earlier than planned."
"What the hell for?" Jake yawned. "I was looking forward to relaxing on a Saturday for once. You know I've always hated working on weekends."
"One, you know Saturdays are the best time to test targets. And two, that's the time when most clients are available to meet with us. Besides, you can relax at the office."
"That's hard to do since my boss is an asshole, demanding I come in early."
Marcus snorted. "Funny. I want to assign the female bait partners, and you guys are it."
"Partners? I like the sound of that."
"Strictly business, my friend." Jake mumbled something under his breath that sounded like, "You aren't any fun anymore." As if Jake would develop a thing for one of the women. The man had been celibate for 2 years.
"We still on for poker tomorrow night?"
Marcus hated to reschedule. He usually planned his life around their late-night poker games. "No, we'll have to do it the night after. Something's come up tomorrow." "Don't be late for work," he said, and hung up. He tossed the cordless onto the nearest box. No way he'd explain about Jillian. He didn't understand the need to protect and guard her, or argue with her, especially since he hadn't even known her for 24 hours. All he knew was that he was going to have to be nice to her from now on. That was the only time he felt halfway in control around her. Otherwise, he'd end up dipping his pen in the company ink because Jillian liked their fighting as much as he did, the little liar. She'd gone all breathy when he'd insulted her. Thank God he wasn't the only crazy one. He guessed that meant if she upset, snubbed, or offended him, he'd smile and thank her. If she slapped him, he'd smile and thank her.
If she chained him to a bed and stole all his clothes and money, he'd smile and thank her. Maybe he'd ask her to climb on top of him, too, but that would be a wait-and-see situation. Dumbass. Frowning, he pushed to his feet and strode into the kitchen to get a beer. No, two beers. In all honesty, being nice was starting to sound fun, and deep down he knew that wasn't a good sign. Not good at all. "You're so beautiful, baby. I was looking forward to showing you off to all my friends tonight, but I'm working late," Wyatt had said a few hours ago when he'd called. Georgia hadn't been upset that Wyatt broke their date. Damn it, she should have been upset. She wanted to be upset, and that want was driving her crazy, making her brood and mope and worry about what the hell was wrong with her. They'd been dating for a year now. He treated her wonderfully. Not a day went by that he didn't compliment her appearance. "Let me look at you. God, if there's another woman more perfect, I haven't seen her." Despite the way she'd complained to Jillian, she did like those compliments. Except, "I just want to be loved for who I am," she thought, depressed. "I just want to be loved for the woman I am inside." Once she'd thought Wyatt was capable of that, but lately she wasn't so sure. What would Wyatt do if he saw her without makeup? Would he still want to show her off to his friends? What would he do if she wore sweatpants to dinner? Would he still claim there was no one prettier? The prospect might not have bothered her quite so much when they'd first started dating, but now, just the thought of his reaction made sickness churn inside her stomach. She could easily picture him running away from her, the same way Brent had run all those years ago. Brent. Just his name made her shiver. She didn't have to wonder what would happen if he saw her as anything less than perfect. He'd run again, as fast as his feet could carry him. And that'd be a good thing, she told herself firmly. She recalled how, several years ago, she'd had dinner with Jillian and her family. During the course of the meal, Georgia had managed to dump spaghetti all over herself, covering herself in thick red sauce and noodles. Brent had taken one look at her, jumped up and raced from the dining room. Even though the imperfection had been temporary, he hadn't been able to get away from her fast enough. Maybe Jillian had had the right idea all along. Maybe men really were pigs and incapable of giving a woman, her, everything she needed. And yet, that didn't stop Georgia from longing for that elusive dream-come-true romance. "I just want to be loved," she shouted, throwing herself atop her bed. She cried until there was nothing left inside her. Chapter 7. "You're so beautiful, I'd never kick you out of bed, unless you wanted to do it on the floor." "The war is off," Jillian said. "What?" Georgia, whose eyes were rimmed with red, frowned at her. They stood in the CAM parking lot beside their respective cars as traffic whizzed past on Oak Street. The sun was high and hot, but a cool breeze wafted around them. Magnolias fragranced the air. Sweet. So sweet. Mocking. "Why?" For 6 years, 5 days a week, Jillian had come to this large white building with its pristine, virginal-looking walls and emerald-green trees splashed along the border. She'd always loved those 5 days and would have lived here if possible. Now, though, she found no comfort. She only wanted to leave. Marcus was inside. "I can't deal with our new coworker right now," she replied. Truth. The entire night had proven unproductive, which was totally and completely Marcus's fault. Even after all the phone calls about her mom, she hadn't been able to get him out of her mind, and in turn, hadn't figured out a way to deal with her depressed mother trying to score. "Ugh, mom scoring," she shuddered. "Why not?" Georgia insisted. Tendrils of dark red hair swept across her eyes and over the elegant slope of her nose. She brushed the locks aside. The sunlight usually paid her creamy skin nothing but tribute. Today, she looked like hell. "What's wrong with you?" Jillian asked her. "Nothing's wrong with me." She waved a dismissive hand through the air. "Now, tell me why we can't go to war with Marcus." "Because," Jillian said,
switching back to the original subject without protest. Georgia would talk when she was ready. Jillian leaned against the sedan she'd returned, her own car just a few spaces down, and looked away, toward the busy intersection. She mourned the loss of her uncomplicated, predictable life. No matter what happened today, she was going to talk to Anne about buying Cam, or at least becoming partner. She'd borrow and beg for the money if necessary, anything to get rid of Marcus and at last realize her dream. Just because.
That's not really an answer, but it doesn't matter. I can deal with him.
Georgia crossed her arms over her chest. I'm anti-man right now. Brow puckering, Jillian faced her friend.
Why?
A glint of insecurity slid over Georgia's perfect features.
Wyatt stood me up last night. Said he had to work late, she added, a sad, wistful note to her voice.
Apparently she was ready to talk.
Do you think he did it to punish me, for not giving him an answer to his proposal?
She didn't wait for Jillian's response.
Well, he can punish me all he wants. I don't have an answer. I thought about it all night and I still couldn't decide.
I'm sorry, I really am, but you can't leave him hanging forever. Jillian wasn't sure how many more problems she could deal with. It seemed to her that if you couldn't decide whether to marry the man you were dating, then the answer was probably no, not that she'd tell Georgia that. She made enough mistakes in her own life and didn't want to be responsible for Georgia's.
I know, Georgia chewed on her bottom lip. I'll figure it out sooner or later. In the meantime, I need a distraction. Hurting the guy who hurt my best friend is a good place to start.
Jillian sighed. He didn't hurt me, not really. Infuriated and excited her, yes. Take your frustrations out on Marcus if you want. Just don't expect me to help. She couldn't. Not if she wanted to resist Marcus and his wicked, naughty mouth, his let-me-pleasure-you body.
But why? Georgia pouted. And don't tell me you can't deal with him because I know better. Yesterday he called you incompetent and you hated him. Something had to have happened between now and then to change your mind. I want to know what it is.
Yesterday I didn't realize how much fighting with him turned him on. She didn't tell her friend that, even though they usually discussed everything. She was just too embarrassed by her feelings. I found religion, that's all, and I'm going to try something new. It's called forgiveness.
She snorted. You found religion in one night?
Hey, I believe in God. It's just, well, now I've seen the depths of hell, Jillian said dryly, and I don't want to visit there ever again.
Truth.
Before Georgia could reply, Celine pushed open the front door of the building and peeked outside. Her long blonde tresses floated around her temples like angel's wings. Anne's called a meeting, she said.
We'll be right there, Jillian told her.
A meeting? About what?
Wait, she knew the answer. Marcus.
She turned back to Georgia and smoothed her jeans. How do I look? Her friend gave her a once-over and frowned.
Honestly?
Always.
Like shit.
Oh, good. Jillian grinned. She'd purposefully dressed to unimpress, in ripped jeans, a blue shirt, and flip-flops. If being nice to Marcus didn't put a damper on her sex drive, she would need some sort of shield against him. Case in point, if he thought she was ugly just because she wasn't dressed provocatively, she could hate him forever. No problem.
Please let it be no problem. You want to look bad?
Georgia shook her head.
You are so bizarre sometimes.
Jillian shrugged.
I wonder what Anne wants.
Together they walked toward the building. She probably wants to introduce Marcus to the rest of the staff, Jillian said, and opened the front door. Georgia sailed past her. When she entered behind her friend, she frowned.
Look, she said.
Georgia stopped mid-stride and spun around.
What?
Look at the walls. Her friend did as commanded and her mouth fell open.
All of our posters are gone.
A few weeks ago, they'd designed and hung male-bashing posters along the walls, like the ones in her cube, laughing all the while. Her favorite had been the one that read, "You know a man is lying when his lips are moving." Why had they been taken down?
After working with us, the clients fell in love with those posters, Georgia said with a frown of her own. Anne even suggested we make more.
Marcus, Jillian said through a clenched jaw, if he thinks he can make this a man-friendly business just because he's now an employee, he can think again. Georgia scowled. Bastard. Who does he think he is, messing with our walls? Really, he's worked here less than a day. I'll be nice to him, that's what. Jillian gnashed her teeth, fighting a tide of desire already working through her. Georgia arched a red brow. Still determined to forget the war? No. Yes. There had to be a way to punish him without outwardly fighting with him. Stubborn. Come on. Georgia grabbed her hand and tugged her down the hall. They turned a corner and passed a table piled high with donuts and coffee. The scent of caffeine wafted through the air and made Jillian's mouth water. At least tell me you won the bet with Marcus last night, Georgia said, not slowing her steps. Tell me you proved to him that men are pigs and women are superior. Let's just say I'm one step closer, she hoped. Yes, she had won their bet about Darren Sawyer, but Ronnie with an IE had done a lot of damage to the girls' team. Lapsing into silence, they swept past open glass doors and entered the conference room. Cam only boasted a handful of employees, and every one of them was present, except Marcus, thankfully. She wasn't ready to face him yet. Each woman Anne had hired was lovely and desirable, but in different ways. Jillian had always thought that seeing them together was like looking at a painting come to life. There was something for everyone, a temptation for every palate. While Georgia usually attracted the art collectors, the men who liked fine wine and sophistication, Jillian usually attracted the ones with innocent schoolgirl fantasies, Darren the bastard being one less than memorable exception. Celine, of course, was the quintessential blonde goddess. Cool, aloof, untouchable. Men who liked a challenge went crazy for her. Then there was Danielle, the resident bubbly blonde. She was tanned and toned, with a smile that said, "Let's jump into bed right now." She was also extremely intelligent, but loved playing dumb so her targets would feel superior and underestimate her capabilities. Becky was a mocha-colored beauty with long legs and breasts any Playboy centerfold would envy. Amelia was the dominatrix. She had straight, dark brown hair, always wore black, and had wild, exotic features that appealed to men who wanted a spanking. Currently, they were standing around the long, square table, sipping coffee and chatting. Jillian liked them all. Not many others outside this room understood her pig scale. Not many others eschewed love and marriage with such unmitigated determination. Anne, leader of this sensual buffet of womanhood, sat at the head of the table, attention centered on a stack of papers. Jillian opened her mouth to get Anne's attention, to request a private meeting before she told everyone about Marcus, but George's next words stopped her. "The conference walls are bare, too," her friend muttered. Jillian looked and, yep, plain blue walls stared back at her, the posters gone, vanished as if they'd never been there. She ran her tongue over her teeth and clenched her hands at her sides. Marcus. Maybe, if God truly loved her, Marcus would have a heart attack and need to be rushed to the hospital. Really, when did you become such a bitch?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Jillian felt every nerve in her body sizzle at the sound of that voice. Crisp, slightly accented, deep, husky, lethal. No heart attack, then. Maybe he didn't have a heart. She bit the inside of her cheek in disgust. Disgust with him and herself. The devil's favorite spawn shouldn't sound like an angel. Truly, if he kept talking like that, she'd have a heart attack. Just then, Marcus brushed past her. On purpose? Their shoulders touched briefly, and the contact singed her, all the way to the core of her cells. She pressed her lips together to hold in a gasp. Pinpricks of electricity dotted her skin, spreading, weaving together and forming a blanket of heat. It's disgust, she told herself. Not lust. Absolutely not. Uh-uh. No way. He's mean and hateful and smug and egotistical, and he took down our posters. Everyone began to whisper. Georgia squeezed her arm and sucked in a breath. I hate him, but he's a decadent slice of cake, isn't he?
How could I have forgotten that? She asked softly. Have you ever seen a more perfect specimen?
Honestly, Jillian said, giving Marcus a once-over as he scooted around the table and eased beside Anne. He wore blue jeans and a tight white t-shirt. His sandy hair was in disarray, as if he'd plowed his hands through it repeatedly. Or a woman had plowed her hands through it repeatedly. During sex. First, Jillian shivered at the thought. Then she frowned. Had he slept with someone last night after flirting with her? Pig? He had a masculine, beaded necklace wrapped around his neck, tight enough to choke, she hoped. I've never seen a more perfect example of a human pig. Anne and Marcus shook hands and engaged in a quiet conversation. Jillian wanted to demand everyone be quiet so she could listen. Turned out she didn't have to. Conversation throughout the room tapered to silence as every woman present feasted her gaze on the eye candy that was Marcus Brody. Speculating. Wondering. Hoping. Despite the sudden hush, Jillian still couldn't hear what he and Anne were saying. Her hands clenched.
Who's he? Danielle whispered to Celine.
Celine shrugged.
He was here yesterday, remember?
I know what I'd like him to be, Amelia said.
Jillian didn't have to guess. Her tied-up bitch with a racquetball taped inside his mouth and a chain replacing the necklace around his neck. Maybe Jillian wasn't the only one who wanted to choke him.
Couldn't you just lick him up? Becky asked. Vanilla ice cream.
Their admiration was a little irritating. They didn't know him. If they did, they'd stop staring at him and break out their mace.
Bastard, Jillian muttered.
What was that? Georgia asked with a laugh.
Everyone turned and looked at her expectantly, even Marcus. Jillian felt her cheeks heat. Nothing, she said sweetly, giving Marcus a saccharine smile.
Absolutely nothing.
He blinked in surprise, confusion, desire, in his eyes as he gazed at her grinning lips. Anne clapped her hands, gaining everyone's attention.
Have a seat, ladies. There are some things we need to discuss.
The girls milled to their respective chairs around the table, some of them hurrying to sit closest to Marcus. Most of them, Jillian noticed, had to wipe the drool from their mouths, including Georgia, the traitor. Jillian claimed a seat at the end, as far from Marcus as possible. He was still watching her, she realized when their gazes locked in the next instant. Brown against blue, excitement against, damn it, excitement. She felt it sparking to life, heating her blood, felt it radiating from him. Great. Now he didn't need to insult her to turn her on. He just needed to look at her. Freaking great. She raised her hand, intending to flip him off. Thankfully, she caught herself in time. Don't make it worse. Stick to the plan. Be nice. Jillian forced herself to wave at him, forced her features to relax, forced her mouth to curve in another welcoming smile.
Hey, Marcus, she said in greeting.
Gag. Someone kill her now.
It's nice to see you again.
Once more he blinked in surprise. Once more confusion darkened his velvety brown eyes.
Nice to see you too, he said, unsure.
Everyone looked from Marcus to her, her to Marcus.
You two know each other? Danielle asked.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Yes, he echoed. Unfortunately, hung in the air unsaid.
Marcus, Anne said, are you ready?
He nodded, stood, and anchored his hands behind his back, his mouth slightly curled at the corners. Suddenly, he looked ready for battle. For a riot. Something. But he tore his gaze away from Jillian, walked to the back wall, leaned against it, and remained silent.
I want to begin by saying how proud I am of each and every one of you, Anne said.
There was an odd inflection in her voice, a hint of sadness. Jillian frowned. Usually Anne began her speeches and lectures by telling them they were ingrates and should fall on their knees, thanking her for allowing them to work for her. Anne, proud of them? Possibly sad? This can't be good, she thought, tensing.
There were times you wanted to kill me, I'm sure, Anne added.
Was that a tear in her eye?
But none of you ever did. Not many women would show such restraint.
Anne? Becky said. Her voice was shaking.
What are you trying to tell us? Are you dying or something?
Anne wagged a finger at her.
I'm getting to that, you ingrate, and I'd like silence until I do.
Finally, Anne sounded like, well, Anne again.
Jillian expelled a relieved breath. Her attention veered to Marcus to see how he was responding to the speech, the girls, everything.
His gaze was locked on Jillian's mouth, again. Unbidden, her lips parted as she tried to catch her breath. Her lungs burned for air. Marcus raised his eyes, dark pools, and for a split second they stared at each other, and she was drowning. Drowning. His eyes devoured her, undressed her right there in the conference room, blistered her from head to toe. Anne's voice faded from her ears, and in that suspended moment, her entire world seemed to revolve around Marcus. Her skin grew hot. Her stomach flip-flopped.
Look away, look away, look away.
But she couldn't. He'd trapped her, held her captive. She didn't want him. Really, she wasn't attracted to him. Thankfully, for whatever reason, he tore his gaze away from her, and she was able to do the same. She focused on the far wall. Its bareness irritated her. At least, she wanted it to be irritation she was feeling. Her heart was hammering inside her chest, all of her pulse points like little drums, boom, 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 knocking against her ribs. She could breathe, could hear Anne again.
Should just say it.
Anne paused, squared her shoulders.
Change was inevitable. Change is always inevitable. And I can't say I'm sorry. It was time.
Change. How Jillian hated it. Marcus meant change, and she wanted things back the way they were. Treat him as a friend, she told herself. The attraction will go away if you're nice. Yes, nice. She straightened in her seat and, drawing on her determination, faced Marcus for the third time. For the third time he was watching her. Pulled, perhaps, by the same invisible cord that beckoned her to take another look, no matter the excuse. She felt her body reacting as heatedly as before, but forced herself to smile, sweetly, as if she hadn't a care. He frowned in return, looked away. What kind of game was she playing, Marcus wondered. Her sex kitten features radiated all kinds of different emotions. Lust, his favorite, though it shouldn't be. Hate, something he expected from her. Sweetness, a shocking development and surely a lie. Innocence, also a lie. Had to be. The sweet smile was giving him a hard-on. What didn't nowadays? He was really beginning to miss his sexual slump. He'd thought, hoped, only Jillian's anger turned him on so potently. No such luck. Great. He'd have to be nice to her without making her smile. That wasn't even the worst of it. She sat a good distance away from him, but he could still smell her from where he'd brushed against her a few moments ago. Not her perfume, but her. She smelled too good, like a tropical, hedonistic island catering to the pleasures of the flesh. Stop breathing, he told himself. His mind kept flashing images of himself and Jillian, in bed, naked, tangled together, writhing, and he kept finding himself watching her, studying, wanting. Okay, so, to recap, he'd have to be nice to her, without making her smile, while standing far enough away from her, that he couldn't smell her. Totally doable. Women like her should be caged and thrown into a dark, never-ending tunnel. And then, the tunnel should be permanently blocked from the rest of the world. A menace, that's what she was. A menace to his peace of mind, his good sense, his work ethic, his sex drive. He couldn't help himself. He faced Jillian and studied her for the thousandth damn time, hoping that this time she would not affect him. Hoping that this time the desire would not make an appearance. Her hair curled down her shoulders and back. Black, silky. Pure sex appeal. She toyed with one of the strands, winding the end around her finger. When she released it, the tendril curled around her nipple. Dear God. The agony. His mouth watered. Had she done that on purpose? She didn't appear guilty, though. She appeared aroused. and worried, and angry, and then determined. But she smiled at him again. His stomach tightened into a hard knot, and he stuffed his hands into his pockets to keep from strangling that sexy, wouldn't-you-like-to-spank-me smile right off her. Anne's next words penetrated the fog enveloping his mind. "I'm going to take a chance for once," she said. "I've wanted to do this for a while, but held on, unsure. Well, I can't hang on any more. I want a life outside of this office before it's too late, and so I sold the business." Jillian's eyes widened. "There," Anne continued. "Now you know. I'm sure you knew it was coming, or at least suspected." Jillian's eyes widened even more, nearly popping out of her head. "Ladies, I'd like you to meet your new boss, the new owner of Catch 'em 8, Marcus Brody." He didn't expect applause, and he didn't get any. Horror splashed over Jillian's face. She paled and focused all her attention on Anne. "What? What? No, no, no. Tell me you're lying. Damn it, Anne, you told me he was bait." "And I didn't lie. Marcus still plans to be active in the field, but he wanted a chance to meet everyone on equal footing, so I gave it to him." "Stay where you are. Don't react. If he displayed an ounce of smugness or triumph, it would piss her off, and then he'd barely be able to control himself." He teetered precariously as it was. Oh, hell. Who was he kidding? This was one hand he wasn't going to fold. Later, he could regret it. Later, he would regret it. Now, he'd simply enjoy. Marcus strode to the end of the table and flattened his hands on the surface. He leaned toward Jillian, her scent stronger, more arousing than before. Sexy as it wrapped around him, lulling, begging for a touch, a caress. He resisted as he opened his mouth to speak. Jillian beat him to it. "Double or nothing says you won't shut up and walk away from me right now," she whispered quietly, menacingly. With no hesitation, he whispered just as softly, "You win, because someone needs to say it. You are now a puppet, and I get to pull your strings. Dance, little puppet," he grinned. "Dance." Chapter 8. "The word of the day is legs. Let's go back to my place and spread the word."
"No, no!" Amid feminine twitters of confusion and delight, Jillian felt her safe, happy world crumbling around her, leaving her destitute, miserable. Of all the things she'd expected to hear from Anne, that had been nowhere on the list. For a moment, she forgot that Marcus was still leaning into her, still poised above her, and simply wallowed in the hell in which she now found herself. Marcus was her boss. Marcus was her freaking boss. "Dance, little puppet, dance." Dear Lord. That meant he now called the shots, controlled her cases, would fill out her employee reviews. This after she called him a pig and accused him of sleeping with Anne to get a job. This after she'd insulted him time and again. This after she'd offered to feed him poison. The knowledge hit her with devastating force, nearly doubling her over. No, no, no. No! Cam would not be hers. Not now, not later. Jillian felt like she was at a funeral, mourning the death of her dreams. The conference room was suddenly too bright, too hot. No, too cold. Her skin was like ice, her blood like fire. Marcus was her boss. Ugh, just ugh. Before Anne's announcement, she'd known her attraction to him had been bad. Now, it was suicide. Now, making him angry wouldn't just turn her on, it would get her fired. Fuck, she thought. Well, your plan is still good. Be nice to him and he won't arouse or fire you. But she didn't want to be nice to him anymore. She wanted to scream at him, to rant, to slap. The bastard had ruined everything. Marcus was living her dream. He'd be in control. He'd get to try new things and expand the business. He'd get to choose the cases they took on. He'd...
Not yet moved away, she realized. He was still leaning toward her, his nose almost touching hers, his sinful scent enveloping her. She narrowed her gaze up at him. "Get out of my face," she wanted to snap. At the moment, she truly did feel capable of murder. Heat invaded his brown eyes, darkening them to that rich velvet. "Kiss me," his eyes seemed to say, "and all your troubles will go away." He licked his lips, and she felt her anger draining as she melted under a strange, erotic spell. Her traitorous mind was shouting that he could comfort her, that he could soothe the hurt and depression suddenly washing through her.
"Oh, no, no, no. He's evil. He's the devil. He's destroyed your life."
She gave him a sweet smile. "Bastard."
"Congratulations. I'm sure you'll do a wonderful job,"
running the company into the ground. Frowning, he straightened and pulled his attention from her. He even walked around the room. The distance between them was not enough. No distance would be enough, she suspected. After clearing his throat, Marcus said, "I'm happy to be here, and I want you to know I feel it's an honor to join the CAM team. I've worked in this type of business for a long time. Together, we're going to do great things for our clients." He paused, avoiding Jillian's general direction. "But, as Anne said, change is inevitable. Things are going to be different around here, ladies."
"I like change," Danielle said happily.
"Me too," Becky agreed.
God, what a nightmare this was. Jillian glared at them, these women who should hate Marcus simply on principle.
"We'll miss you, of course," Georgia said to Anne, a little sad.
Anne snorted. "I'm not your boss anymore. You don't have to kiss my ass." Celine's smile was radiant.
"Thank God for that."
"Good riddance," Becky said. "Don't think you have to visit," Amelia said with a wink.
Danielle added, "I'm allergic to water, so don't even think about inviting me to your lake house." A smile curled the edges of Anne's mouth, and for a moment, it appeared as if her eyes misted.
"I love you girls, too."
Jillian couldn't bring herself to say anything, though she really would miss the old bat. She respected her. Well, she'd respected her until now. What a horrible decision, selling the business to Marcus. Customers would hate that razor-sharp tongue of his. I should have forced her to acknowledge my request to buy CAM. That sense of depression skated through her, stronger than before because it was now laced with betrayal and insecurity. Why hadn't Anne given her a chance to run the place? She'd proven herself, hadn't she?
"Jillian, be a dear and get me some coffee,"
Marcus said then, cutting through the goodbyes and pinning Jillian with an intense stare. Silence filled the room. Everyone turned to watch her, clearly speculating on what she'd say and do. They were used to her directness and probably expected her to verbally cut Marcus into a million tiny pieces, boss or not. Oh, how she would have loved to do it, to cuss at him, to refuse. If she refused, what would he do? Her eyes narrowed as realization hit her. He wanted to push her past the edge of her tolerance so she'd blow up and he could wash his hands of her. Well, he wouldn't get rid of her that easily. Her friends worked here, and she was on the high end of the pay scale. She didn't want to make new friends somewhere else, and she couldn't afford a pay cut. And if she switched agencies, she'd definitely have to take a cut. A big one.
"Sure thing," she said airily. She stood. "Sugar? Cream?"
His mouth fell open in surprise, but he quickly snapped it closed.
Black.
"Black it is, then."
Jillian sashayed into the hallway, all eyes on her. As if she hadn't a care in the world, she stopped at the snack table just outside the conference room. She poured the desired beverage, and with her back to him, added 3 scoops of sugar and several splashes of mocha flavoring, then sashayed right back to Marcus. She handed him the cup without a word, only a smile.
"I hate you."
How could she fight him? How could she make him leave forever? The room was still silent, and everyone still watched her, including Marcus, who claimed the offered drink, careful not to touch her. She was glad. She didn't want to know if their fingers would generate electricity again, especially now. Her boss. Her goddamn boss.
"Thank you for the coffee," he said, his voice strained.
He hadn't expected her to do it, and he most assuredly hadn't expected her to do it with a smile, but he obviously wasn't going to drink it. He just held the cup.
"My pleasure," she forced herself to say.
She remained in place and eyed the coffee expectantly.
"Is it too hot for you, Mr. Brody?"
He looked at her lips, and her stomach quivered.
"I happen to like it hot, Miss Green."
"Are you sure? You're just holding it, not enjoying it to its fullest."
He ran his tongue over his teeth before taking that first sip. His eyes widened when he tasted the sweetness.
Just how I like it."
She crossed her arms over her chest.
"Really?"
"Oh, yes. Sweet."
"I thought you took it black," she said stiffly.
He leaned close to her and whispered smugly,
"I lied."
The fire inside her blazed all the hotter, and she quickly sat down, just to get away from him. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief, because disaster had been averted. She hadn't punched him. Only Anne seemed disappointed. She rolled her eyes.
"If you two get any more sincere, I'm going to need a tissue. Or a barf bag," she muttered.
Becky said, "So, what's your policy on inter-office romance, Mr. Brody?"
Several girls chuckled. Some giggled like schoolgirls, reminding her of Ronnie with an IE. But all of them watched Marcus with hawk-like stillness, predators stalking their prey. Did they think Jillian was dating him? Or did they want to date him themselves? Probably the latter. Jillian wanted to gag. Did they know nothing about men and the horrible personalities that came with them? They should, after working here of all places. But the girls were soaking Marcus up, giving him a good eye-fuck, even though he'd just treated her like a lowly gopher. How could they not realize he was poisonous?
"Please, call me Marcus, and we'll get to office policy in a moment," he assured them. "I'll just bet you will, jerk."
He probably wanted to check everyone's teeth and survey the merchandise first. No doubt he'd have an open bedroom policy.
"Anne," he prompted.
"I guess that's my cue to leave."
Anne stood. She looked both happy and sad. Her eyes glowed brightly, and there was rosy color in her cheeks.
"We've had a good run together, girls. Stay in touch, and don't take any crap. Do what you want, when you want."
A long pause ensued.
"Truly, let yourselves have a life. Don't hide. Don't regret."
Her voice had cracked as she cast a meaningful glance at Jillian. A tear slipped from her eye, traveling along her cheek. She hurried out of the room before anyone could respond. Jillian almost chased after her. She wanted to know why Anne had done this terrible thing. She wanted to know why Anne hadn't given her a chance. When she stood, Marcus said,
Jillian,
and shook his head. She sat without a show of emotion. Later, she assured herself, later she'd track Anne down. For the moment, she'd focus on Marcus.
"Now, down to business. I read over each of your files, and I'm very impressed with your work," he said.
Everyone but Jillian chirped happily until he added,
"But with the new rules and policies I'm about to outline, you'll all be starting with a fresh slate. No pros, no cons."
When he said cons, he leveled Jillian with a pointed frown. Yes, she hated him. Could the day get any worse?
"One mistake," he added, "and you're out."
At that point, the girls lost all hint of amusement and happiness. One mistake. The legal system was more forgiving to hardcore criminals. And like he'd really wipe Jillian's slate clean, please. He still looked at her with heat in his gaze. Angry heat. Lustful heat.
"That's a little strict, don't you think?" she asked.
"Rule one," he said as if she hadn't spoken.
He paced around the table, arms locked behind his back. Of course, the position displayed his pecs and abs to utter perfection. Totally unfair.
"There will be no arguing with my orders."
"What, we're in the military now?" she rolled her eyes.
"Yes," he said, taking her words seriously.
my military. She couldn't help herself.
Whatever you say, sir, she said, saluting him.
Do you have a problem with me, Green?
He stated the question quietly, hopefully, a dare, a challenge. He stared at her, expectant.
If so, you can pack your things right now and leave.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Nope, no problem, sir.
Is that so?
Her jaw clenched.
Yep, that's so.
You sure?
His brows arched and he never once removed his attention from her. The challenge in his eyes intensified.
I'm sure, she bit out.
Be nice, she reminded herself, no matter what the provocation. When his brown eyes darkened further, the challenge becoming desire, she forced her expression to soften.
I don't ever plan to argue with you, so I think rule number one is a winner.
She gave him a thumbs up. He rolled his eyes.
Rule two.
He paused and she said, I'm writhing in anticipation, maintaining her sweetest voice, careful to remove all traces of sarcasm. The devil was inside her, no doubt about it. Marcus brought out her worst. His hands fisted at his sides, and he deliberately moved behind her. She didn't have to turn to know he curled his fingers around the top of her chair. She felt the heat of him, reaching for her, wrapping around her. Unbidden, she pictured his fingers caressing her back, lower, lower, winding around, right where she needed them most. Her breath emerged choppily, shallowly. She shifted in her seat.
That's what you get for making him mad.
He deserved it, though.
As I was saying, he began.
But he paused, waiting for her to speak up so he could strangle her. A moment later, his fingertip brushed a lock of her hair. A gentle caress, almost a shadow, but effective nonetheless. She shivered. Had he done that on purpose?
Rule two. There will be no relationships of any kind with a target or a client. Or an employee, he added, almost as an afterthought. Understand? That is my policy on interoffice romance.
The girls nodded solemnly. Jillian remained absolutely still, too afraid she'd come into contact with Marcus again.
Anne already had that rule, she stated.
Wait, I'm sorry. He leaned down until his breath trickled over her hair, making another shiver dance through her.
Damn it, she gritted her teeth.
I must have failed to make rule number one clear.
No interrupting me.
You said no arguing with you, she reminded him stiffly.
And what are you doing now?
Danielle and Becky cast her sympathetic glances. Celine, Amelia, and Georgia pressed their lips together to keep from laughing.
Let's just say, rule one is no arguing with and no interrupting me, and leave it at that.
Rule three, Marcus continued, staying behind her. No gossiping among the hens.
Hens? Did that make him the cock?
She knew he'd said it to piss her off, but she laughed. The entire situation was simply too surreal, and it was better to find amusement where she could than to wallow in depression. His hands hovered over her shoulders, then fell away.
Rule four, no complaining. I know women like to do that, so if you feel that you absolutely must, I'll put out a suggestion box. Just don't expect me to read your suggestions.
I will not interrupt, I will not interrupt, I will not interrupt.
Did he truly expect them to sit at their desks silent, utterly still? Maybe raise their hands when they had a question? Robots who obeyed his every command? Her hatred for him intensified. Apparently, the others had begun to dislike him as well. They'd finally lost their air of excitement.
Does anyone need a notebook? He asked. You might want to write all this down. Or is everyone following along?
We aren't stupid, Jillian told him. All eyes locked on her.
Well, she said, we aren't.
Next, all eyes shifted to Marcus, gauging his reaction to her rule-breaking. Technically, though, she wasn't really breaking his rules. She hadn't interrupted him. There had been a slight pause as he stopped for breath. What the hell, Jillian thought in the next instant. So what if she broke some rules? If he got the upper hand now, they'd never be able to get it back. They'd be forced to obey, always living in fear that he'd fire them.
Marcus,
she said. You really are being rude. To what? Teach me a lesson?
Do you like working here, Jillian? He asked.
He sounded casual, at ease. She turned in her seat and looked up at him. You know I do. She matched his tone. He didn't say anything more, but his threat was clear. Okay, so. Her defiance had done no good. She hadn't shamed him, embarrassed him, or softened him. At least she hadn't been fired. Finally, he moved away from her, circling the table. A hawk, a panther ready to attack. Celine kicked her feet up on the table. There was a glacial glaze in her blue eyes. Good. She wasn't fooled by his looks.
I'd like a notebook. I haven't doodled in a while.
Jillian chuckled, bravado returning. Me either.
Ladies, I'm perfectly willing to make an example of you. This isn't a game we're playing.
His voice was stern. His gaze returned to Jillian.
Much as some people might think so, this is my business, and I want it to be a success. I'll be a bastard if I have to be, to ensure things are done professionally.
That sobered everyone. Celine lowered her legs. Jillian gazed down at her hands. She understood his need to make the business a success. She'd wanted to do that, too, back when she'd planned to own Cam herself, which happened to be about 10 minutes ago.
Rule 5, he said. Spa day is a thing of the past.
The sober, somber air of the room was also a thing of the past.
What?
Becky demanded, outraged.
What?
Amelia gasped out, equally pissed.
You can't do that.
Georgia banged her fist on the table, the picture of feminine pique.
We need to look our best or we aren't effective in the field.
Spa day is the only employee perk we have, Danielle said.
Are you trying to ruin our lives to make yours a success? Celine demanded. Taking away their day at the spa really was a low blow. Once a week, Anne had paid for their trip to Body Image, where they were massaged, pampered, manicured, and oiled down. To take that away from them, even Marcus's sexy face and bedroom body couldn't save him now. He threw his arms in the air, the last sane man in existence.
I've worked in this business for a long time, and frankly, I've never needed a manicure, pedicure, or hair highlights on company time, on the company's dime. Women in every profession manage to keep up their appearance without the aid of a spa day.
Cruel and cheap. Isn't this our lucky day? Jillian said before she could stop herself. She didn't whisper either. Self-sabotage at its finest. A collective gasp filled the room. Marcus stalked to her. He grabbed her hand and tugged her to her feet.
May I speak with you privately?
He didn't wait for her response, but jerked her from the room. As she passed her friends, she saw that Georgia had gone pale. Celine winked, and the others mouthed, good luck. Marcus was probably going to fire her. Good, she thought defiantly. She'd never have to see him again, never have to speak with him again, never have to deal with him again. So what that she'd have to start on the bottom of the ladder somewhere else and make new friends? So what that her paycheck would take a dive and her bills would pile up? It would be worth it just to be rid of him. Liar. About all of it. He marched to Anne's, nope, his office now, and slammed the door shut. Bright light streamed in from the wide wall of windows, the blinds open and raised. He released his vice-like grip on her hand. She felt cold all of a sudden, bereft. He whirled on her.
Do you want to take me on, Jillian? Is that what this is about?
She straightened her spine, tilted her chin, and strove for a strong, brave tone. But when he looked at her like that, she wanted to throw herself at him, rip off his clothes, taste him, despite everything. Actually, Mr. Brody, this is about Rule 2. You want us to act professionally, but you can't seem to do the same. You called me last night, for God's sake, and asked me if I was turned on. Isn't that dipping your hands in the company cookie jar?
Fury, at himself or at her, blanketed his expression.
That was a mistake.
Yes, it was.
With barely a breath, she added, where's my cash? You didn't get out of my face in the conference, so you now owe me. He got in her face again until they were nose to nose. His eyes flashed dark fire, ominous fire. His color was high, his accent more pronounced. His warm breath fanned her cheeks.
"You are the most infuriating woman I've ever met," he snapped. "You're rude, obnoxious, and cold."
"Yeah, well, you're the most annoying man I've ever met. You're egotistical, a sadist, and pure evil." The more she spoke, the hotter her blood became, rushing through her veins, sizzling, blistering. "It's sad that my day would have been better if you'd been in a car accident on your way to the office." They stared at each other for a long while, each panting with the force of their fury.
"I could shake you right now," he said.
She stepped even closer to him, meshing their chests together. Her nipples pearled, the traitors. "Do it. I dare you. Shake me."
"You don't think I will?"
He wrapped his fingers around her shoulders, his grip firm, searing. He shook her once, and her breasts rasped his shirt. They stared at each other. "That's it?" she taunted. "That's all you've got?" He shook her a second time. Her breasts rasped his shirt again, and then they were kissing. Wild and untamed, his tongue plunged into her mouth. She was already open for him, totally willing, stupid, stupid, their teeth scraping together. His decadent flavor filled her mouth, claimed her, her hands tangled in his hair, holding him captive. He gripped her ass and jerked her pelvis into his erection, hitting her exactly where she needed him. Pleasure jolted through her. She moaned. He groaned. "I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe he tastes so good." Her thoughts tapered to total sexual enjoyment as he angled his head and took more of her mouth, feeding her kiss after delicious kiss.
"More,"
he said on a harsh gasp of air. "More." He backed her into the wall, and her excitement spiked. When her back hit the cool stucco, she hissed at the ecstasy. Good. So good. One of her knees bent up, pressing Marcus deeper into her. She gave another gasp. "Oh, God." He gripped her calf, spread it wide. "Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God." And when he began rubbing against her, the long, thick length of him cutting the center of her world, then she began to edge closer and closer to orgasm. Panic should have hit her. They were fully clothed, inside an office that should have been hers, but instead belonged to him. He was her worst enemy, and her new boss. He shouldn't be able to excite her this much. Yet, she didn't care.
"I dreamed about you last night," he said huskily.
He ran his tongue over the rings in her ear.
"The things you did, you should have woken up ashamed of yourself."
She shivered. "What did I do?"
"Bad things, amazing things."
The kiss became hard, savage, just like his appearance promised. She yearned to bite him, to scratch him, to erupt, not in fury, but in passion. "Don't," she commanded herself. "Don't." She'd never fallen apart for a man, and so easily. She couldn't, wouldn't, start now. Not with this one. Control mattered. Control was everything. Already she clung to a thin thread of it. These needs, these desires were new, unwelcome. Kissing was fine, but to totally let go, giving him the sharp bite of her teeth, the passionate sting of her nails, he'd know just how much she wanted him. That she couldn't allow.
"Stop pretending you don't like it," Marcus suddenly growled, pulling away from her slightly.
His lips hovered above hers.
"You want more, you know you do."
"Come back. Kiss me." She couldn't raise her gaze from his lips. "I can't stand you. Why would I want more?"
"You may not like me, but you want me."
Want him? Oh, yes. Never had a man tasted so good. Never had a man made her so excited, stolen her common sense, consumed her. Unable to help herself, she meshed her lips to his, and his tongue thrust against hers without protest. He tugged on her shirt, lifting it up. His finger settled on her bare midriff. The contact was electric, amazing. And her resolve faded to the background, to be indulged later. She pulled at his shirt, wanting all the pleasure he could give now, wanting skin-to-skin contact, wanting to touch the ropes of his stomach. Her hands coasted over him. Oh, the strength! So wonderful, almost drugging. She wanted to touch forever. There was a knock on the window. And never let go, never give up the excitement and passion she found in Marcus's arms. Another knock. And take more, give more, so much more, not worrying about letting go completely. And there was another freaking knock on the window. Someone wanted their attention. Panicking, she flattened her palms against Marcus's chest and pushed. She didn't push as forcefully as she could, should have, but he stumbled away from her. They were both panting. His eyes were glittering, alive. She jerked her attention away from him and looked to the window. Her eyes widened. A man stood outside, staring in and grinning. She gasped. Marcus whipped around. When he saw the intruder, he stiffened and held up a finger. Not the middle one, she noticed. "Damn it, I need a minute," he growled. The man nodded and turned away reluctantly. "What were you doing?" The rational part of her brain spoke up again. "What the hell were you doing?"
"Making out," her body answered happily. "With Marcus Brody, you moron."
Her blood chilled as she realized the depths of her stupidity. Her clothes were in total disarray. Her shirt, bunched up under her bra, wrinkled from the press of him. The imprint of a button was visible on her stomach. "Who's that?" she asked, hating how breathless she sounded. His taste was still in her mouth. She didn't mention the kiss, avoided the subject entirely. "A friend." Marcus returned his attention to her and ran his hand down his face. That was worse than if he'd said it was a stranger. "Don't you dare tell anyone what happened," she said. And yeah, she knew the guy had already seen everything. "Like I want to admit something like that. And for the record, nothing happened." "That's right." She straightened her chin. "Nothing happened, and nothing will ever happen again. Understand?"
"Oh, I understand, and I'm grateful." His voice was rough. "So?"
"Get lost," was the unspoken command. "So?" She cleared her throat, turned away from him to right her clothing. "Idiot. Moron." She wished she knew whether she was referring to Marcus or to herself. There goes rule number two, I guess. Chapter 9.
"If I told you that you have a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?"
What the hell was rule number two? Marcus couldn't remember. He'd been making them up as he'd gone along. Could be no office relationships. Could be obey my every command. He didn't know. All he could think about now was the perfect way Jillian had erupted in his arms. How her lush, perfect breasts had felt plastered to his chest. How perfect the juncture between her sexy thighs was. The perfect cradle for him. How Jake had ruined it all. He gritted his teeth. He and Jillian should not have felt so perfect together. Nor should such a viper taste like perfect heaven. Perfect, how he hated the word. He'd known she was trouble the first time he saw her. He'd known she would bring about his downfall. He'd known, and yet he'd brought her into his office for a private chat, anyway. Why not invite her over to his apartment for a night of wild sex while he was at it? A heathen, that's what his mother would call him, and he'd deserve it. His hands actually shook with need. For Jillian, only her. He would have liked to tell himself it was because she was close enough to strangle, but that would have been a lie. He knew it. "I have got to get laid." That's why she affected him so strongly, because it had been so long for him, no other reason. He smoothed his fingers over his shirt, trying to brush away the wrinkles she'd caused by fisting the material. He looked at her, even though it was a foolish thing to do. He was officially a foolish man, so the action didn't surprise him. Jillian was facing him again, and her eyes glowed brightly. Her lips were red, swollen, moist. He'd expected her to leave after she'd smoothed her clothes, but she hadn't. She'd raised her chin stubbornly.
"Why are you still here?" he said, more for his benefit than hers.
"You plan on firing me?" Her black brows arched, and the spark died in her eyes. If not for the high, rosy color on her cheeks, she would have appeared totally unaffected just then. She crossed her arms over her chest. "I broke a rule, and your employees only get one chance. Just one," she said, mimicking him. A muscle ticked below his eye. "I'll make an exception, but only this once. Next time you attack me, though." Her mouth fell open, giving him a glimpse of the tongue he'd just tasted, the tongue he wanted to keep tasting.
"Me? Attack you? You practically swallowed me."
"Whatever you need to tell yourself to sleep at night, Dimples."
He had to get her out of here. Couldn't be alone with her a moment more. Just looking at her was making him hard. Well, harder. Sparring with her was as stimulating as kissing her.
"Go back to the conference room," he commanded. "I'll be there soon."
Her eyes regained their sparkle, snapping and crackling with heat. "Be a good little boy, Mr. Brody, and choke yourself." She whipped around and stalked away from him. Good thing, too. He might have kissed her again if she'd stayed a single second more. Drawing in a deep breath and catching an unwelcome hint of her exotic scent, he walked to the front of the building. Jake and the others waited just outside. He opened the door, letting in a warm breeze and light. A few seconds later, he learned that letting his friends inside was a mistake, one of many he seemed destined to make that day. They filed past him, grinning wide, tooth-bearing grins.
"Who is she? How'd her lungs taste? Did we get one of those, too?"
The rapid-fire questions pounded at him as they turned and faced him, still giving him those knowing smiles. He ignored them.
"Just wait in the hall, quietly. Give me 10 minutes, then come into the conference room."
He'd given them an after-hours tour of the building the day the lease had been signed over to him. A few of them snickered.
"What?" he demanded.
"Nothing," Jake said.
He pressed his lips together.
"Nothing at all."
Marcus shook his head.
"Whatever. 10 minutes.
He didn't wait for their replies, but turned and stalked away. His friends scoffed and laughed behind him. They'd tease him unmercifully later, he was sure. The office, he thought, striding past the bare blue walls, needed some fixing up. Something totally non-sexual. Religious statues, perhaps. Maybe some anti-women posters to replace the blatantly false anti-man decor he'd removed. No, that would probably piss Jillian off, and then she'd storm into his office. She'd be angry, so of course she'd be stripping off her clothes along the way. Anger, with him, at least, aroused her, no matter how much she denied it. She had too many tells. Shortness of breath, raised voice, hard nipples. Back to the fantasy. He'd be sitting at his desk, innocent, and she would approach him, chest heaving, push him back in his chair and straddle his lap. And, there was no way he wanted that. Was it hot in here? Had someone turned on the heater? God, the stay was so not going as planned. He'd wanted to tell Jillian he was her new boss, maybe gloat a little, but not enough to anger her. Well, he'd told her, and he'd gloated. A lot. She'd gotten angry. A lot. They'd kissed. A lot. And it had been good. The hottest kiss of his life, and better than most of the sex he'd had. Shit. Shit. She was his forbidden fruit, and he needed to do a better job of resisting. Marcus wasn't sure what he'd find when he entered the conference room. He knew it wouldn't be Jillian, naked and on the table, a wicked smile on her face as she beckoned him over and demanded he swallow her again. Which he would flat out refuse to do, her being forbidden and all. So he kind of wished he could just go home and start over tomorrow. Can't you think of anything besides sex? He stopped just before he reached the turn, hidden from his friends, hidden from the conference room. He pressed his forehead against the wall and adjusted his pants. First chance he got, he was going to find a willing woman, take her as many ways and times as he could in one night, and get sex out of his system. Maybe then he could look at, yell at, and think of Jillian without becoming a perverted sex addict. "Hello, my name is Marcus, and I'm addicted to sexual thoughts about an employee." Yep, he definitely needed to find a willing woman outside of the office. But wouldn't you know, the thought of being with someone else fucking depressed him. Well, hell! He reminded himself that he couldn't fire Jillian and end his misery that way. No, as evidenced by that asshole Darren, she needed a protector when on assignment, and he was it. But he could continue to make her fetch his coffee. That had been fun. Her hips had swayed deliciously as she'd walked to the table. Well, hell, he thought again. What happened? Georgia asked the moment Jillian stepped back into the conference room. Have you been? She gasped. Crying? Your face is red. We're dying here, Becky added. Tell us.
Did he fire you?
Worry blanketed Danielle's pretty face. Her blue eyes gleamed with concern.
Should I put a contract out on him? Celine demanded.
Should I whip that naughty boy until he cries? Amelia asked eagerly.
Everything's fine, Jillian replied, her cheeks flushed with hotter color. If they found out she'd just kissed the boss, if they discovered she still wanted his mouth pressed against hers, his hands all over her body,